From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, the Dr. Bernie Siegel, where he shares his wisdom, all full of, I call them, nuggets of wisdom. But we are here today with a wonderful guest, and this is a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. Bernie's show is heard every first Sunday at 8 p.m., and you can hear his show on our own syndicated station Wednesday through Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. So let's bring in Dr. Bernie. How are you today?
Oh, I always tell people not to ask me that. I don't want to take up the whole show.
Okay. And we're going to welcome Rick Jetter. He's a PhD, and his book is Sutras of the Mind, Unleashing the Power of Mindfulness in 30 Days While Rescuing Your Spirit. So welcome, Rick.
Hi. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
You're welcome. So, Bernie, how would you like to start?
Well, first, as a surgeon, what made you use the word sutures? Or was it just
funny
about holding it together?
Yeah. And it's interesting because some people mispronounce it. They call it sutures and success of the mind. I probably should have used stitches, but I had an old friend who would talk about his experiences in education with all the sutures that he had all over his body when things got tough. So I thought, that's an interesting word, sutures. I'm going to use that.
All right. Yeah, it can hold things together. But first, I always feel, what made you write the book? And let me say it this way, because I have the same feeling, and often in some of my books I will start out by saying, there's nothing new in this book, but it's a personal, you know, experience that may help people. And I really feel that sharing what you can accomplish or I can accomplish lets people know what their potential is. I mean, those who are willing to give it a shot and not worry about failing. But what made you, in a sense, write the book?
Yeah, you know, I wrote it during a time of my own healing from a failed career in education where alcoholism took over my life. And I ended up, you know, not really dealing well with the politics in education at the time of a school superintendent. And, you know, I walked away from a career and cleaned my life up. I've been sober for over 2 years now. And mindfulness was one of the tools of the trade that kind of helped me to heal. And I wanted to share that with other people and also, you know, whether mindfulness is from Buddhist roots or not, there's a Christian theme as well where there's daily devotionals, and both the spirit and the mind strengthen me, and I just wanted to share that with others.
Yeah. I have a friend who has American Meditation Institute. He runs it. And I think that, again, I'm learning, too, how much mindfulness can accomplish in mind and body, not just, you know, relaxing you, but how it can accomplish so many ways of healing and changing your life experience. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think, Dr. Bernie, I think there's a myth out there that mindfulness is, you know, people sitting around on mats humming and doing yoga and that's it, and it's so much deeper than that. So I wanted to also write about that in my book.
Yeah, it's, you know, the way I think about it is, that's why I always talk about experiencing, you know, see what happens rather than act upon your beliefs.
That's right.
So that if I meditate and something happens, then, hey, it happens. I don't need to explain it, but I've benefited from it. Whereas if I say, nah, that doesn't make sense, that's crazy. But I can remember going back years ago what the, monks could do sitting on freezing mountaintops, diverting blood flow so they didn't freeze parts of their, body even during that experience. I mean, just all kinds of fascinating things that I began to realize I could learn from all of them and their experiences. And, that you, when people are willing, a term I use is a life coach, that you and your book can be that kind of a coach for them. And if you don't mind, I mean, just jumping to pages in your book, the chapter on health, disappearing scars. What did you mean by that? I mean, I could read your words, but let it come from you.
Yeah, disappearing scars is interesting because, nothing truly disappears, right, unless we discount, its impact on how it is going to influence the rest of our life, right? So I wrote a little bit about my daughter who had a bout with tumors since she was a small child, one of my daughters. And, it was a very emotional time for my wife and I because we didn't know if those tumors would be malignant or not. God bless, that she has been okay and that her tumors every 2 years since she was a baby turned out to be benign, and we just kind of we realized that maybe she's just a lumpy set of mashed potatoes and that was just her lot so far in life. But scars can either stay with you if you choose to let them stay with you, or they can disappear like physical scars. I remember cutting one of my fingers when I was a child, and the scar is completely gone now. When you look at emotional scars, right, when you think about all those things that happen to us, we can either choose to let them reappear on a daily basis, or we can choose to let them disappear. And if they're not truly gone, that's okay too. But we have the power with our mind and the strategies that we use to put things on hold or to discount them or to move forward in a more positive way and not let them impact us so that we would be down and out for a longer period of time. And that's really what that chapter did, was just to make an analysis about, even the most physical scars can disappear. And, if we continue to shoot ourselves in the foot over things that may have happened in the past, we're really only keeping those scars feeling like they're brand new ones on a daily basis, even if they're years old.
I can't help but you said, you can deal with a health professional, but what is most troubling is after we work with the mental health professional, we go home and we might be alone. And, getting the support and the relationships and even the pets all make a difference in us. I was noticing this morning that the one living thing that always makes me laugh is our dog, Rex. I mean, I don't get upset with him and the world. And he's a gift because he's, in a sense, is like another form of meditation. When he does some silly thing, because he's so happy to see me, I end up with a big smile and feel better, and I really appreciate it. And I think when there are people in our lives, because I call it the children behavior, that if I act like a child, this really happened the other day. We were leaving a restaurant, and the man who manages it is a friend of ours. He grew up with our kids. And he said, "Hey, I hope to see you again." I said, "Certainly not. I don't hope to see you again soon." And everybody in the restaurant bursts out laughing. They knew I was kidding. But it's that kind of thing that I feel makes people remember you, but also gets them to smile. Because, again, it's a reality. life is difficult, but when you can help people deal with the difficulties, then it gets a little easier. And here's my next one that I really feel is so important. You list in that same chapter, try this right now. Go to a mirror that's hung in your house, and there might be one in your dining room, you know, in different places. If you don't have one, go out to your car, look in the rearview mirror, stare at yourself for 2 minutes. Then think about your physical health. Think how good it felt to be healthy again, and about how others who are in the hospital or their own bed suffering from physical health issues. Say a prayer. That mirror, it's something that came to me from someone who's an animal intuitive, because I thought that was a little nuts that somebody talked to animals, but I've learned it isn't nuts, because she's located lost pets from halfway around the world, and I'm in Connecticut. But, you know, when I've emailed her and she'll tell me, oh, they're alive, I can see through their eyes. And one of the things she would always say to me, though, when I would be screaming an animal's name, you know, the pet's name, like I mentioned, Rags. Rags, where are you? Rags. She said, you're never going to connect with him that way. Quiet your mind. You can get into his mind. And you'll know where he is, or you can talk to him and tell him to come in and that type of thing. And I know that works. But back to the mirror, the quiet mind to me became the still pond, which is in many myths. You know, the ugly duckling sees he's a swan. The tiger raised by goats is taken to a pond by another tiger, you know, saying, hey, dumbbell, what the hell are you doing here? But his mother had died, and the goats raised him. So he says, look, you're a tiger, see? And I think that too often people don't see what's good in the mirror. You know, that we really need to work at that. I tell people, which in a sense what you're saying, create shrines around the house. Put your baby pictures up. Oh, and then people tell me from what their parents are like, they don't even have a baby picture. But I think when people can, again, create a shrine about themselves, it helps to heal their wounds. Because to stare at yourself for 2 minutes, for a lot of people, is a real job, you know, rather than enjoying and smiling. What led you to do that and to be comfortable doing it?
You know, it's interesting. Everything that, what you're saying right now is very powerful, because it leads me to really think about the messages that I've been giving my readers, right? So they pick up a copy of my book because they're going through a hard time. And the cover of the book is very compelling, right? So you see this skull, and it has words, you know, filled of grief and anxiety and fear and anger. And, you know, it's interesting because mindfulness can help us through the tough times, but what's interesting about what you're saying is that practicing mindfulness and staying at peace with yourself during the good times is equally as important. And my own children came to my wife and I a couple months back, and my girls, especially ages 8 and 10, they said, Daddy, we want to do a drawing club. We want to set up a drawing club for us. And we said, oh, okay, you know, that's a good idea. We like, you know, we can sit together and draw. And what's happened is it's turned into a Sunday ritual where about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we will sit as a family for about an hour, maybe even longer. And for an 8 and 10 year old, that's pretty tough, an hour straight. But we all sit and we draw and we color. And it's a form of mindfulness, a healthy positivism in our lives that things are going well. You know, it doesn't need to be a tragic event that takes place for us to step back and appreciate everything that we do have. But it's even during the healthy times that can be equally important and leveraging for us. And I wanted to share that example because it happened so recently, and it really opened my mind to speaking with my clients or readers that, you know, things might be tough right now, but when you're looking in the mirror and you're doing things when things are going well, that's going to strengthen you to new heights that you can't even possibly fathom at this moment. But, you know, that overall health and wellness is so important when things go well and when we are healthy.
And it's interesting you mentioned the drawings, because it's something I've been working with for years, and have a whole book out, you know, on the art of healing, because what is revealed, I strongly feel, through the drawings is what is truly within us. As the Bible says, God speaks in dreams and images, but our consciousness, you know, it's like when you've turned off your brain and you're no longer thinking, then your consciousness can come forth, whether it's in sleep or in drawings. And the colors have meaning, past, present, and future. It's amazing what, you know, even as you say with your children, you can say to your children, the drawing today is going to be our home and family. And then take
That's
a look
right.
at how your kids are feeling. Because teachers at schools are always amazed when I have, you know, kids in the lower grades do things like that. And then, how did you know that about their family? I say, I'm looking at their picture.
That's right.
Yeah, and it impresses the teachers because it's not part of, you know, their training. But I think that really to see your true essence and your true self, and what a difference it makes to all of us.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the role of teachers and children, and even through the lens of education, there is an awful lot of research that's hitting the field right now with mindful activities for children. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing an increase in student achievement with common mindful practices in the classroom and in school districts.
Yes.
New York City, you know, one of the most diverse departments of education on the planet, and, it's seeing some very positive results for children to learn to live a calming life where focus is so key.
Yeah, I remember reading studies how their grades, IQ levels, all kinds of things went up. If you don't mind, let me read you a paragraph from this meditation teacher that he just sent me a little while ago. We were emailing because I was impressed with how his statements really fit in with mine. The gift of meditation is that it has the power to change our perspective on everything, including the personality. And when we can change our perspective, we can change our experience. It's what you're saying. As meditation deepens, we experience that I'm not the personality I thought I was, and that I no longer have to be burdened by all the baggage that goes along with the paradigm. I can begin to see myself as I really am, namely eternal consciousness, wisdom, bliss, and love itself. Once that paradigm shift in identification begins, and with a trusted teacher as a guide, the personality can slowly, slowly begin to experiment with a more loving and creative way of being. A word I use is reparenting. He said, in meditation, it's reparenting the limited perspective of the personality's functions of the mind, ego, senses, and unconscious. It's a process of gaining the trust of the ego, senses, and unconscious mind, and encouraging them to defer to the wisdom of the conscience, or the Buddha, in thought, word, and deed, just for the sake of an experiment. The more the ego, senses, and unconscious mind agree to this kind of experimentation, they feel better physically, mentally, and spiritually, and become more willing to perform another experiment. In effect, the process expands the old limited perspective of the personality. It replaces a feeling of lack with a confidence and fullness. And then you become more trusting and loving.
And
you know,
forgiving.
It's everything that you're saying. And that's part of why I said to you, why are you writing a book? Everybody writes, you know, the same book, so to speak. But we all need to have the coaching, what I call the life coaches, to help guide us, because you're not being critical of people for not doing something. You're trying to help them to do something and
That's
not
right.
fear failure. Because like your words on the first page, I mean on the cover, you know, the profile, grief, anxiety, madness, what made you do that versus love, peace, happiness, Is it more to clean out all that garbage?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Bernie. It's the act of, you know, the wound being there and the process of suturing, which, you know, I call rebirth and spiritual nourishment, that the book focuses on. So, you know, it what it does is the cover tries to relate to people. You know, it tries to hit on all those daily things that we might go through, or those life events that we'll never know how they really feel. Like, I just spoke to a woman who lost her child a few years ago, and she read the book looking for a sense of something that she struggled with was being alone, right? So when she's alone, her fleeting thoughts get the best of her. And it's in that time of need where, you know, we can stitch up these areas of our mind that kind of colonize us, and we don't have to let them colonize, right? So there's so many strategies that we can use, even when we're alone with our own thoughts,
mm-hmm.
that will refocus us, keep us grounded, have us dismiss those thoughts so that we can focus on something new for that rebirth or that redesign of ourselves in a positive mode of thinking.
Yeah, we recreate ourselves.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
And here is something I began to look into as I started helping people. I didn't realize, because you say, again, you know, different places in your book, you and God are a team. I agree with you. Because every morning, I mean, part of my rituals now is I learn from people like you, you know, to do certain things. So I have positive mantras in the morning, you know, when everything's going wrong and you're saying, thank you for everything, I have no complaint whatsoever. You know, I mean, I laugh because in my head it's like, hey, you know, every day there's another crisis. I mean, it's just nuts, you know, being in life and in a home and, you know, something happens every day. But I'm every day, thank you for everything, I have no complaint whatsoever. And when I walk the dog, I communicate with God, you know, to let God into me and to be thankful. But as I was doing this with patients, I also began to realize their religions didn't necessarily prepare them for that. So you and God are a team. Well, here's
and
a test
Bernie,
question.
Bernie, yeah? Before you ask that question, we need to take our first break. So everyone stay with us. We'll be back more, and I would like to hear about that religion question that you have, Bernie. So we'll be back in a moment, everyone.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
And we are back with Dr. Bernie Siegel and his show, Mind Health Matters. Now, if you want to get in touch with Dr. Bernie, you simply go on his site, Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. Again, BernieSiegelMD.com, all one word. And if you'd like to save on Bernie's books and items, you can actually go on his son and daughter-in-law's site. It is wisdomoftheages.biz, B-I-Z. So wisdomoftheages.biz. When ordering, you place code 27 in the comment box when you check out, and you'll receive 15% off of all your items pertaining to Bernie, of course. And so we are back. And Bernie, you had a test question.
Because, you know, all the things you listed on the front were more emotional. You didn't list cancer, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, and so forth. But if somebody walked up to you and said, I have your book, but I have a question for you. Does God want me to have cancer? I'm not a perfect person, I know that, but does God want me to have cancer? What would you answer them?
That's interesting. It's not that God is a bad God where, you know, from up above, he's going to decree people with purposeful things in our lives that will make us suffer peril. But rather, it's recognizing that there's a miracle in disguise for that reason that that person is going through cancer at that moment. And it could be that the end product will be remission. It could be that the end on our physical planet is that that person will be joining God. Or it could be something in disguise because it might position that human being to be able to tell his or her story about being a cancer survivor. And I write a little bit about the role of miracles, and are we mindful to even recognize a miracle when it comes our way, or if something's in our path, can we say, wait a second, you know, that could be in disguise. You know, that could be something that is in front of me that I need to really take in and think about and even pray about. So that would be my answer, you know, for that type of test question.
Well, you didn't say yes or no.
I think it's yes, you were meant to go through this experience because something greater is awaiting for you.
I'm laughing because it's sort of hedging on the answer. But if people feel God is punishing them, see, you're talking about it, that the disease, yeah, the curse could become a blessing. Let's put it that way. That because when you say to people, and I was going to recommend this to you, I always ask people, what are you experiencing when they're going through something? Like the death of her daughter, that woman. And the words that come out of people relate to their life.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone's going through a disaster and, you know, says failure, roadblock, confusion, pressure, I say, what else in your life fits those words? You need to eliminate those things from your life. Mm-hmm. Then there are people who say, yeah, my cancer has been a wake-up call, blessing, a new beginning, because of what they've done. But I think when people feel they're being punished, as some religions, you know, infer, that doesn't help them. See?
That's right.
I did something wrong, now God gave me cancer, so I'll, you know, show up again and become more spiritual and go to services. And one of the things I like to share with people is from Maimonides, who said, disease is a loss of health. So if you find what your neighbor lost, return it to him. See, that's what you're doing with your book. If people are feeling diseased by all these emotional and physical problems, you can help them find themselves again and find what they've lost and then free themselves from that dis-ease feeling. And I think that's what, you know, people need to look at, why I began to study religion. Because for me, if I felt comfortable with God, but somebody sitting in front of me may feel, God, it's, look what God is doing to me. Oh, and I have to share with you why I started asking that question was finding in the Billy Graham column, somebody writing him, saying, I'm not the nicest guy in the world, and I have cancer. Does God want me to have cancer? And my reaction was no. You know, as I was reading the article, but Billy Graham said, not necessarily, which I thought, you know, what kind of an answer is that? Not necessarily. But he said, you know, God might use it. You know, it's like if you won the lottery and everything's going well, you don't go back to church again. You say, you got everything. So God gives you a disaster, and now you show up again looking for help. I mean, I just thought that was such crazy reasoning. But in many of the religions, when you look back through them, that was the feeling people grew up with.
Right.
God decides who gets what and what happens. But
yeah, or, right,
me,
or the decision to believe that your God is bad and,
yeah,
and will,
yeah,
you know, come down on you with lightning bolts and all that.
Yeah, but you see, when you talked about miracles, that proves to me, I always say God loves us, that God is loving, intelligent, conscious energy. And you say, why do you say that? I said, well, you cut your finger, you don't bleed to death. So God cares about you. Or bacteria. People don't always accept and like that statement. I say, God loves bacteria. Why? Well, they alter their genes and resist antibiotics. So when you talk about miracles, the term I use now is self-induced healing. You know, that the potential for the miracles built into us so that we, again, just like you're sharing what got you through this, that if you say, oh, it's a miracle, it's a spontaneous remission, you don't learn a damn thing. See, they're lucky people. They had a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, how the hell did you manage that? Why didn't you die when you were supposed to, say, or whatever, you know, issue they're dealing with, then I found they always had a story to tell you about life changes. And again, what you're writing about, you know, what you learned from all the things you might say that went wrong and, you know, allowed you to suture yourself together again and hold everything together.
You know, it's interesting because as a child, you know, we don't prepare our children for failure.
We don't prepare them for it to happen. Yeah, I think
that's
we
right.
Tell them they're a failure and, you know, so often, and you embarrass me, you're a failure. Yeah, then they're a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky. I grew up with parents who gave me what I call mottos to live by. So I didn't understand what other kids were going through until one kid said, you didn't ask me what mottos I'm dying by. I couldn't believe what parents were saying to them. But because of my own parents' disasters, they grew up knowing what was important about life. And, you know, the three things I always heard was, do what makes you happy. God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. And material things were to make the world a better place for everyone. And, I laugh every time I say that because I remember standing in the kitchen with my mother saying, "Ma, I had a horrible day at school. God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this." It's like, oh, come on, Ma. I need help. But you know what? You see, but again, what you learned, it could be a month later I'd realize because I, you know, the thing I didn't like happened, something better happened a month later. And then you begin to realize, maybe she's right. And I find that most of the spiritual leaders had parents like that. You know, if God slams one door further down the corridor, another will be open. And that was my friend Norman Vincent Peale said his mother told him that all the time. And I think, again, when we read works like yours, it helps keep opening doors for us.
Will we take that opportunity to recognize, you know, being open to something around the corner, you know, or will we shut the door when something goes wrong? So there's a big difference.
Choice.
Yeah. And another that I like here, live within Christ. I have on my desk now a quote that I read from Ernest Holmes, Science of Mind. "It is done unto you as you believe," from Jesus. That's a quote from Jesus. And sometimes I will say this and say, how come doctors don't get mad at Jesus? You know, why should they be mad at him? Look what he said. It is done to you as you believe. So he's blaming everybody. That's what I got criticized for when I would ask patients, what's happening in your life? You know what I mean? Why you might be sick now? What's played a role in it? And doctors would say to me, why do you blame your patients? I'm trying to help them, not blame them, you know, to realize. And then you find that sentence, it is done unto you as you believe. And why aren't people yelling at Jesus and saying, what are you blaming us for? But again, he's empowering people, just as you are, you know, trying to do with your book. And one of the things that impressed me, again, talking about God, was that Jesus and Abraham didn't argue with God. Because I have to say that if God came to me and said, hey, I want you to sacrifice one of your kids, my response would have been, excuse me, why don't you just take me and leave the kids alone?
Right.
You know? But in one of the things I was reading, it said that what they feared was separation from God. They didn't fear God, but separation. So they had faith in their God. And therefore could go ahead. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn. I mean it, in my own personal life. Hmm. Having the right Lord, let's put it that way, that you could trust and have faith in. And I think when people can find that, what helped you?
Well, now I'm going to interject for a moment and hold that question because we need to take our other break. And I wanted to give out Rick's web address, too, if you want to get in touch with him. It's rickjetta.com. And Jetta is J as in juice, E, T as in Tom, another T, and E-R, rickjetta.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
And we are back, and I just wanted to remind you that Mind Health Matters is heard here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston every first Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can catch Bernie's show Wednesday through Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on our own syndicated station. It's Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7, radio.com. And now back to Bernie, and it's Dr. Rick Jetta, who has a PhD and, from what I've read, a number of other degrees as well. So, Bernie?
All right. Yeah, Rick, one of the sentences that's a quote from Galatians was, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How do you help people feel that love and find that faith when they've been through, you know, their own hell, so to speak?
Yeah, I even put a few phrases on page 153, and this one strikes me the most. I think if someone was to say, Rick, if you could just write one sentence about your entire book, what would it be? And I think to say, I am worth saving, and I am also worth saving me from myself, is the culminating statement in regards to the total universe and the Lord. And then what we do, our own free will on a daily basis. I am worth saving. I am also worth saving me from myself. And that, I think, is what I've shared with people. And it's tough. You know, people come to me and, Rick, life is tough. And, you know, we all go through our trials and tribulations, but we either can recognize that we can save each other from ourselves and that the Lord will ultimately save us, or we can choose to turn our shoulder and we're going to live with so many burdens on our shoulders, like not forgiving people or not recognizing that we are important and that we can serve God.
You know, that's why I used that word earlier, reparenting, because you have, dear Lord, you know, it's like a letter to God. I cannot and will not engage in self-defeat. Why should I choose to voluntarily fall into a gorge? But when you've grown up, something I had to learn, when you've grown up with parents who say things like, you're a failure, you embarrass me, I don't make these stories up either. I'm going to dress you in dark clothes so nobody notices you. I want you to commit suicide. Or parents who commit suicide and their kids say, I must have been a failure as a child. It is so hard for them to change that hypnotic program. And that's why I say, if you become a new parent, as one young lady said to me, I'm her chosen dad, she said. I was her CD. And I think that when we are willing to love one another and sustain that love, you don't have to like, but loving, then they find self-love. They realize they're worth something. You know, it's like because you wrote a book for them. Maybe I'm worth something. Look what he said. And I think all those things make an enormous difference for people and can save a lot of lives.
Yes. Yes.
And, I mean, to me, I think that part of what I felt, and I don't know how you feel about your book, but, you know you're helping a lot of people, it makes your life real. Mm-hmm. The word I like to use.
One of the questions I have is, for Rick is, you know, looking back, would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I think I would do things differently. I didn't, you know, when things were going well, I ignored what was important. I worked 15-hour days. I didn't have a balanced life. I didn't see my family. I, you know, had a very good salary and made a lot of money and thought I had a lot of friends. And when things went well, I mean, financially and materialistically, I strayed. And, you know, I wasn't who I was. I wasn't myself. And I was letting other people take their toll on my emotional well-being. And I guess I would say I wouldn't go back to change the fact that I needed to have, you know, some tough experiences to get through. But I wish I learned the skills of mindfulness and was centered more in the Lord back then, because it would have just led to a stronger family life for me. And some of those lost years that I had with my children when they were babies, because I was at the office, you know, working and working and working. So, I wouldn't change the fact that, you know, I'm sober now and I can work through really anything, any curveball that comes my way. But what I would change is I wish I had the knowledge of the art of mindfulness and how that is linked to our spirit as well and our faith in the Lord. So kind of a yes and no wishy-washy answer for you, but, you know, I need to be where I am now, and I was meant to be where I am now, and I'm very grateful to have a second chance at life and to help others.
Yeah, gratitude is huge. And every experience, I know Bernie agrees with this, every experience, good, bad, or indifferent that we have really grows our soul, grows us to be, you know, a fuller person, a better person. Mm-hmm.
Joseph Campbell said it in a very nice way. He said, when you're going through hell, ask yourself, what am I to learn from this experience? And I find that when I don't like how I'm behaving, I stop and say, what are you to learn? And it turns me into a better person when I realize that the negative effects of what I'm doing. You know, again, as a surgeon, I have to jump back to what I love here. Choose to dissolve your sutures. You know, you mentioned the list. You have choose to live within your goblins and choose to dissolve your sutures. And what a wonderful symbol, because as the wound heals, the stitches dissolve, you know, the scars really would disappear. And when you follow that list, and so I just symbolically, I think if people keep that term in mind, dissolve mm-hmm. the sutures and move mm-hmm. move on. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
the other is, I may add, because I've had experiences with people, I always talk about my Stop and Shop group therapy sessions. I mean, I go there because I know everybody's got trouble, so I just enjoy myself. I act as if I know everybody and talk to them as if I do. But one lady had a bandage over her eye, and she literally poked me in the back and said, "You're the only person," this impressed me, "you're the only person in Stop and Shop who hasn't asked me what happened." And my sense of humor was, "I know what happened. I have an abusive spouse also." And then she didn't know what to do with me. But, yeah. but you know, that impressed the hell out of me. You got a bandage, and everybody's talking to you. You know, because when we walk down the street, we don't look at somebody and say, "Oh, there's Rick Jeter. You know, he's a former alcoholic. He wrote a book. He's yeah." You say, "Oh, he looks good, so he won't understand me." But when we reveal our wounds, it's always hard for me to stop talking because of the messages I've read. From Thornton Wilder, where in a story called The Pool of Bethesda, an angel refuses to heal a doctor who shows up at the pool. And the doctor says, "Why not? Just because I'm a doctor?" "No, but without your wound, where would your power be?" See, it's your melancholy makes your low voice tremble into the hearts of men. And the very angels themselves cannot persuade the wretched, blundering children on earth as can one human being broken on the wheels of living. And I think you fulfilled that message, you see. You've been through something. That's why you can help everybody. And I mean that literally.
You know, the other thing, Doctor, is, you know, I'm still a work in progress. And
right.
You know,
we
boy,
all
do
are.
I... Man, are there some tough days, even when I thought I'd been through a lot. Anything can happen at any moment, but you know what? I'm healthier, I'm stronger, I'm making a comeback, and I want to help others make a comeback,
yeah.
too.
Well, I learned to call them labor pains, because
yeah.
a woman wrote a poem about comparing the 9 months of pregnancy to 12 months of chemotherapy and radiation. And the first was worthwhile. She gave birth to her child. The second was worthwhile. She gave birth to herself. So that's why I like to call my troubles my labor pains. Because if I'm learning
yeah.
from them, they don't hurt so much. And it can turn me into a better person, you know, doing that. And I think the kids, I always say, the kids and the animals are good teachers, too.
Sure.
You know, they're living today. And teaching us to live in that moment also and not worried about next year and what's going to happen.
That's
yeah, because
right.
I keep mm-hmm. saying, you know, when I say that on your page 23, planning for a perfect life, you know,
yeah.
it doesn't work, you know,
that's
because,
right.
Yeah, I always say life is perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, another group I learned from were concentration camp survivors. You know, one doctor
oh, yeah.
wrote an article because it shocked him. His whole community was thrown into a concentration camp, and he had nothing to offer anybody anymore as a doctor. And the people knew that if they didn't work, they, quote, got a bullet through the head or were starved to death. And he was amazed at how all these sick people who chose life were capable of continuing to work. And I think, again, that gets back, you know, he felt very much it was like a miracle and wrote an article for a medical journal after the war to say what a shock it was to him, but how powerful one's mind was.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
oh,
and I think,
sure.
again,
yeah.
it's what, you know, the list you have and the things you have and, you know, the meditation, all these things are ways of changing our minds. And it literally does, you know, when you do studies of the brain, you see the difference in it when you work on these things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our thoughts hold so much power. Well, we are at the end of the show. Dr. Rick and Dr. Bernie. And it's been a lovely show of sharing.
Well, my way
I had a great, powerful discussion.
Yes, it was powerful. It is, and it will live on being heard again and again. So, everyone, till the next time, we'll talk about all kinds of things surrounding Bernie's wisdom, as we said. Okay, bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.